an offer for Delta.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. $8 billion in stock. That's what U.S. Airways has put on the table in a bid to merge with Delta Airlines. If the deal goes through, the new Delta would be the number one airline across the Atlantic and the second largest airline to the Caribbean. The move would take place once Delta emerges from bankruptcy. It would include $4 billion in cash and $78.5 million in shares of U.S. Airways stock to Delta's unsecured creditors. A group of the world's largest investment banks have declared war on the major stock exchanges of Europe. The banks are planning to launch their own stock trading systems and bypass existing European exchanges. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
This could be a stock market killing with a difference. Stock markets themselves could be the victims. The seven investment banks behind the scheme include Citigroup, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs of the US, and they account for half of all trading in major European shares. They plan to divert much of that business away from the existing exchanges and onto their own pan-European system. The banks say that share dealing in Europe is way too expensive, in fact, five times dearer than in the US. Angela Knight speaks for investment managers in London.
There's been complaints about the cost of trading across Europe. I think it's really only been a matter of time before some people got together with a real credible alternative to the exchanges that are there at the moment.
The new trading system could speed up the consolidation of existing exchanges in Europe. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Also today, Deutsche Börse has dropped its offer to buy rival Euronext. This clears the way for the New York Stock Exchange Group to acquire the Paris-based Euronext and create the first transatlantic stock market. Open enrollment begins today for the second year of the Medicare Part D drug benefit plan. 20 million elderly receive the benefit. Despite some early grumbling, the plan seems to be working for a lot of seniors. From the health desk at WGBH, Helen Palmer reports.
Medicare officials say over 80% of seniors are satisfied with their drug benefit. Independent surveys have different figures, though.
But only 59% of the people who are reporting to us on our website are actually satisfied with the Medicare Part D drug plan.
That's Todd Cooperman of the website MedicareDrugPlans.com. He says some seniors will switch plans, but they won't drop Part D altogether.
Most people do see a benefit to the program, but they're not that satisfied, or at least a good percentage of them are not that satisfied with the plans that they're currently in.
Medicare officials say on average, seniors are saving $1,200 a year on prescription drugs. Combined savings could be as much as $19 billion. And the benefit's also a winning formula for health insurers and the pharmaceutical industry. The government will spend some $31 billion on the benefit this year, and analysts reckon the program's pushed up drug company profits by 3%. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
Good news on inflation helped propel the Dow to a new record and move the rest of the market upwards as well on Tuesday. The Dow gained 86 points, 12,218. The NASDAQ climbed 24 points to 2430. The S&P inched up 8 points. It's at 1393. But in Tokyo, the Nikkei slipped 46 points, or 0.2%. And this is Marketplace. Time to open the vault for this week in the history of business. And we look at how railroads gave us a different sense of time.
Back in the 1800s, most U.S. towns set their clocks by the sun. High noon was the touchstone for local timekeeping. But that started to pose a major problem as railroads expanded across the country. Reliable schedules for travel and the delivery of goods became almost impossible because times varied so much between towns. So this week, back in 1883, the all-powerful railroads cut the country up into four time zones. Because trains were the commercial lifelines for many towns, there wasn't much resistance. In fact, the lines the railroads drew pretty much match up with the ones we use today. But it took the government a while to catch up with industry. Congress didn't officially adopt time zones until 1918. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Get out your checkbook. Today is National Philanthropy Day, hosted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Of course, not everyone makes their charitable donations by check. More and more online options like PayPal accounts are being offered. But the web isn't just raising more money. It's also opening up new ways to donate. Alex Goldmark has more.
New York lawyer Susan Clearwater donates so frequently to public schools that piles of thank you letters take up almost as much space in her office as legal documents.
Thank you for the weekly readers. We were waiting for them for a long time. You are making our lives better. I wish I could meet you.
But what's interesting isn't how much she gives, but how she gives.
Well, it's so easy to just go click, 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 and there you've donated.
Clearwater uses a website called Donors Choose, where teachers post requests for specific proposals, say $60 for new pencils and crayons, or $2,000 for a class trip. Then web surfers like Clearwater pick out which exact projects they'll fund and click, click, give.
I think my favorite thing is the directness. It goes right to the project that you've picked.
A donor could even type in, I just want to see watercolor painting requests from North Carolina kindergarten teachers.
Former teacher Charles Best created Donors Choose as a way to find new money for public schools.
Our donors tend to be people who care even more about choosing where their money's going and seeing their dollars at work than about public education.
While the internet allows donors new control over their giving, it's also letting people donate without giving any money at all.
You don't even have to buy anything. You just have to search the internet. You don't need to register anything. You don't need to pass out a form. You don't need to collect any forms. Just search the web, and a few cents goes to your cause each time you do it.
That's Dan Sheehy. He used to run a successful internet search business, but he realized he could use the same technology to raise money for charity. So, if you search Yahoo through his website, freelanthropy.com, ads are still going to pop up. But some of the money from the ads will go to charity.
Even at 3 cents a search, it takes a relative handful, a literal handful of people, a couple of months supporting Free Wheelchair Mission through their search behavior to fund another wheelchair.
The internet is letting smaller donors and smaller charities play bigger roles than before, according to Stacey Palmer, editor of the Chronicle of Philanthropy.
The small groups have probably gained the most. The big groups, some of them are doing well, and others of them have been a little bit slow to catch on and to find new ways of interacting. But most of them realize that really to attract the next generation of donors, they absolutely have to be doing it online.
According to a recent Chronicle survey, online giving in 2005 was up more than 50% over the previous year. In New York, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
If you're on the go, take us with you. We're podcasting. Visit our website. It's at marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.